Jesus plus nothing. 100% natural, no additives. Andrew Farley is celebrating your freedom in Christ. Call in and ask your questions at 877-655-6755. That's toll free at 877-655-6755. Via satellite from Texas, it's The Grace Message with Dr. Andrew Farley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Grace Message. I'm Andrew Farley. So glad you're joining us tonight. That number, 877-655-6755. We've got wide open lines tonight, plenty of room for you to get in with your question. Maybe you've got a question about a scripture passage. Maybe you heard something in church recently. You're still scratching your head, wondering about it. Hey, let's make it a conversation together right now. 877-655-6755. And if you're a first-time caller tonight, you got to know we love it. We love to hear from our first-time callers. We'd love to hear from you. If you're a veteran listener, maybe you've called us in the past, but it's been a while and you got something brand new on your heart tonight, by all means, join us as well. Again, 877-655-6755. Maybe you've got a personal problem going on in your life right now, in your marriage, with your kids, in your church. You're looking for that grace message perspective. Well, that's precisely why we're here for you for the next half hour. Join the conversation right now. And if you're live streaming with us on Facebook or YouTube or Instagram, of course, you're welcome to call in and be a part of tonight's conversation as well. I'll give you the number one more time, 877-655-6755. All right, we're going to start out in Ohio tonight, and we'll talk with Chris. Hey, Chris, what have you got for us tonight, sir?
Hi, Andrew. How are you doing
today?
Hey,
Chris, are you there?
Yes. Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, I'm doing great. What do you got? Okay. Go ahead.
Well, let me get my mind straight here. You know, I read this article, and it happened by some guy who it happened to be about lust. And, you know, I struggle with that, and as a lot of guys do. But he used 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in his article, and I have two questions about it. When it talks about that Paul gave them instruction as how they ought to walk and please God. So my first question is, when we don't please God, does that mean he's displeased with us? And then the second question is in verse 6, especially the part where he says, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things, just as we told you previously and solemnly warned you. So I was kind of taken back by that a little bit, and I was wondering if you could give some insight on that.
Sure. Yeah, I think we're in a very unique situation with God because, first of all, he's taken away all of our sins. So he's not shocked by our sins. He doesn't hold our sins against us. So when you use the word displeased, sure, he can be displeased with the things we're doing, but not with who we are. I mean, God is displeased with sin. He's never going to like sin. He's got no sin in him. In him is no sin. And Jesus never sinned. So we've got two different perspectives or two different things that people try to call life. There's the life of Jesus expressed, otherwise known as the fruit of the Spirit. And then there's the way of the enemy, otherwise known as sin. So God's never going to be pleased with unbelief. God's never going to be pleased with sin, but he's always pleased with who we are. And I think that's an important distinction. Who are you versus what you do? I hear you loud and clear. Your concern is you have a struggle with lust. And next thing you know, somebody's reading 1 Thessalonians 4 to you, and you're saying, well, my goodness, I'm a little bit scared here because of my lust issue. Well, let's read the passage and let's see what's going on here. It says, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you to do this more and more. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human, but God, the very God who gives his Holy Spirit. So first, I think we have to recognize what Paul is doing here. He's saying, in terms of your living, to be set apart in your living, in your choices, to be sanctified in all that you do. I mean, we as children of God, we're already sanctified as people. A lot of people don't teach that, but that's the truth. If you're a child of God, you are set apart. If you're a child of God, you're holy and reserved for God. But not everything you do is holy. Not everything you do is reserved for God. Not everything you do is sanctified. So this passage really relates to what we're doing, not merely who we are, but our actions, our choices. That's what this is about. Now, you know, you look at what's going on in this warning, and the warning is don't act like the world. You're not the world, so don't act like the world. Don't act like someone that you're not. And as far as, you know, trying to avenge against someone, the Lord is the avenger in all these things. So I think this could be misunderstood. He's not avenging his own children. The point of this passage is don't try to seek revenge, because that's God's business. God is the person who is the judge and the punisher of sin. God is the one who sits on the throne in Revelation chapter 20. God is the one who sees who is written in the book of life and who is not. So we're not to take these matters into our own hands. We have no business doing so. So I think that's what he's getting at here. It's not that God is going to avenge you or that God is going to seek revenge against you. When it says the Lord is the avenger in these things, he's encouraging these Thessalonians to not try to seek revenge against others, others who might persecute them. And so what he's saying is, you know what? Trust the Lord. I mean, trust the plan of the Lord. Trust the end of the age. The Lord has all of this in his control. So as far as your lust issue, I mean, yes, welcome to planet Earth. We are bombarded with all kinds of thoughts, all kinds of temptation, and then all kinds of accusation. And that's a very common thing that Christian men struggle with. Now, you have to know that God is pleased with you. Otherwise, you have no starting point. What do I mean by that? Well, if temptation comes knocking and you already think that God is disgusted with you, you already think God is displeased with you, you already think you're a big disappointment to him, then the enemy has you right where he wants you. The enemy has you, and you're defeated before you even begin. So what the grace of God does is the grace of God enables us to come to a place where we're saying, you know what, my past doesn't define me. You know what, I'm not the sum total of everything that I've ever done. I'm the sum total of what Jesus has done. And so even though I've failed 5 times or 50 times, even though I've failed again and again and again, that doesn't define me. And when this thought comes down the hallway of my mind to tell me I'm a dirty, rotten excuse for a child of God, who do you think you are? What if they knew what I was thinking? Oh my goodness, I am a sorry, sorry excuse for a Christian because I keep getting these thoughts. Well, there's temptation, and then it's quickly followed by that accusation. And we start to feel guilty before we even begin. And what I'm saying is, God doesn't think that way. God doesn't define you by your past, and he certainly doesn't define you by the thoughts that you've received. He knows your heart. He knows your spirit. He knows your identity. He knows who you are at the core. And so we don't want to start the fight already defeated. We don't want to start this battle against sinful ideas having already taken a defeated position where we believe we're dirty and rotten. And, you know, I'm sorry, but all the bad teaching out there that tells Christians that they have a deceitful heart and a wicked heart and that their heart is not right and that they need to test their heart and they can't trust their heart and that their heart is no good. Well, that's creating a defeatedness before they even begin. And so we got to know that when sin comes at us, we're not sin. We got to know that when sin comes at us, we're dead to sin, alive to God, and that we really are new at the core, that we're bonded with Jesus, that we're a perfect fit, that we're united with Christ, that he's happy to have us. So, you know, in short, I would say we can please God, but God is never displeased with who we are. We can please God through our choices, but we can never disgust him by our very being. God is never disgusted with us. He's never even surprised. You can't take God by surprise. You can't say boo from around the corner and scare him. He sees everything. He anticipates everything. He's got this. So he's already looked down the timeline of your entire life. He's not shocked or surprised or startled or disgusted by any of it. He loves you. He likes you. He dances over you. He delights in you. He did all of this for you. He took away your sins. He made you righteous. He made you clean and close. This was his idea before you ever demonstrated any dedication or any commitment or any consistency. This was God's idea to bring you in union with Christ. So he'll never be displeased with who you are. So, Chris, I hope that's a big encouragement to you tonight. Reach out to us again anytime. Great to hear from you. All right, let's go now to Canada. We'll talk with Mo. Hey, Mo, what do you got for us tonight?
Hi there, Angie. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I'd just like to firstly just thank you very much. I've been listening to you now for, I'd say, 7 to 8 years, almost daily, because I have a long commute to work. Mm-hmm. And your teachings have helped me to deal with a lot of things in my life, and I truly believe that I'm free in Christ, and you've shown that time and time again with your teachings. Thank you very much.
Mm, thank you, my friend.
My question is about healing. Mm-hmm. My wife is attending a ministry, a healing ministry, and she's, I think she's getting a lot of hope from that, and I know your teachings about healing, mm-hmm. and I get concerned because I feel that she's going to get let down at some point.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to talk about it, because anytime we do talk about it, she gets excited when she comes back and she's telling me these things. And mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, but are you sure about that? And I think she thinks I'm a downer. but I'm not. I don't know how to.
Yeah.
What message would you say to someone in that situation, Andrew? I guess
yeah,
that's the question.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, Mo. I mean, I think first of all, we have to be clear that God does heal people. There are miracles. You look at the early church. You look at the Book of Acts. You look at the four Gospels. You look at the history of God with humanity, and it is pretty clear that God does miracles, but they're called miracles for a reason, and that's because they're rare. And so God never promises to do these miracles when the cameras are rolling and everybody's watching right on time in a church service or a healing service. I mean, they tried to pin that on the apostles. They tried to say, look at the power that the apostles have. And the apostles would continually say, are you kidding? This is not of me. This is of God. This is God's Spirit doing this in God's timing, in God's way, and we're not in control of this. We don't have any power to heal people, only God. So the reason that God does miracles is to testify to Jesus. I mean, let's just look at the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus fed 5,000 people. Did he do it just for kicks? No, he says, I am the bread of life. That's why he did it, to testify to himself. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Why did he do it? Just to show off? No, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. So he does these things to testify to himself, to his identity, to his power over sin and death. And so I think we have to recognize that's what miracles are really about. And so are some miracles today authentic? Absolutely. Are some of them fabricated? Absolutely. There are a ton of fake miracles. There are people who are self-deluded. There are people who are out of their mind. And there are people who are taking advantage of the public by deception. And I think we just need to be aware of that. I mean, I've said many times on the air that my wife's grandfather witnessed a rehearsal for a healing service. He showed up at the hotel ballroom a couple hours early, and there was the evangelist healer person who was well known all over the world. He'd written books on healing. He was known. His name was at the top of the list of one of the big faith healers. And my wife's grandfather witnessed this rehearsal, and it went a little something like this. Now, you come up on stage over here on the left, and I'll heal you and enable you to have your sight restored. And then you come up over here on the right, you wheel yourself up in your wheelchair, and I'll pick you up out of it and enable you to walk. And then you come down the center aisle, and I'll heal your back pain. And they had everything rehearsed. They had everything ready for the crowd. 2 hours later, when the crowd showed up, nobody was the wiser. So I only tell that true story to say, you know what? That stuff is out there. There are deceivers. So in the case of your wife and what she's experiencing, I can't make any judgment call, and neither can you, because we're not there. But I will say, what matters is the message. I mean, what is the message that is being conveyed? Is the message, look how powerful I am? Or is the message, look at the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Is the message, hey, you need to have this spiritual gift? Hey, you need to be wiggling on the ground, flopping around like a fish in order to experience the Spirit of God? Hey, you need to be doing exactly what I'm doing to have a deeper, richer Christian experience. Is that the message? Or is the message, hey, you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. You have everything you need for life and godliness. You are complete in Him. Thanks to His cross and His resurrection, you are unified with Jesus. You're in perfect standing. You're clean and you're close and you're right because it is finished. Is that the message? Because if that's not the message, then that's not the gospel. I mean, anybody can say, hey, let's chase after these tantalizing distractions and let's chase after this experience of feeling power. But when the New Testament talks about power, well, it's power to believe. It's power to understand, power to grasp the great love of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul prays in the book of Ephesians, for example. So I think in terms of what you say to your wife, I think what you say is, that's awesome. That's amazing. Praise God. And, you know, if she's excited about what took place, well, love bears all things and love believes all things. And I think you just have to believe her until proven otherwise. And if she believes it and she's excited about it and there's no evidence to the contrary, then you just got to believe her and trust her and love her. But, you know, you get into this business of trying to correct her and you don't have anything to go on because you weren't at the service. You weren't there. And so it's her word against yours, but only one of you attended. So there are a lot of deceptions out there, and yet there are genuine miracles. And I don't think you're in the place of offering advice unless you know exactly what's being taught and exactly what's occurring there. So, you know, you talked about her disappointment that may be coming. I mean, if it's a put on, if it's a fake, if it's a fraud, then it's only going to take time. And many of those church experiences, it's like a revolving door. Every 2 or 3 years, people leave. They're up on the front row trying to get healed. And the guy up front, if he's a fraud, then quickly they'll discover, wait a minute, all of these miracles, I mean, there's no real evidence or documentation. Everything's a muscle spasm or lengthening your leg a quarter of an inch or something odd like that. So at the end of the day, I mean, we can't put our confidence in miracles anyway. The greatest miracle that's ever occurred is when God took out your heart. He took out your heart of stone, gave you a new heart, and because you're bearing the fruit of the Spirit every day, that's a miracle. I mean, don't you think it's a miracle that the designer of the universe lives in you? It's a miracle that you get to bear the fruit of His Spirit. It's a miracle that you're under grace and somehow you end up behaving. And it's because of His life, His resurrection life in you. So I would say the greatest miracle of all has already taken place, and you're evidence of that miracle. So, you know, just rest in Christ and keep celebrating Jesus and love your wife and trust her and believe in her, and you'll be there. If things turn sour and disappointing, you'll be there. Not as the smart aleck who said, I told you so, but instead as the kind and gentle and loving husband who was just there for the ride, just there to be company, just there to understand her and help her along. So that's my 2 cents, my friend. I hope that helps you. And thanks for trusting us with your question tonight. Reach out to us again anytime. Well, my apologies to Debbie and Kenny. We ran out of time this evening. I hope you will call us back tomorrow. We would love to hear from you. We're known as The Grace Message. I'm Andrew Farley. If you want to dig a little deeper into our teaching and find out more, go to our website at andrewfarley.org. Again, that's andrewfarley.org. You can click on the media tab there. And if you'd like to support our ministry, we sure could use your support. We are entirely supported by listeners like you. You can go to our website at andrewfarley.org. Again, that's andrewfarley.org. Click on the donate tab and give your gift today.
For more information on the broadcast ministry of Dr. Andrew Farley, please visit andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. Join us next time as we invite you to celebrate the grace message with Dr. Andrew Farley. This program is sponsored by your generous financial support.